Welcome back to the WTF1 podcast. I'm your friendly neighborhood host, Dre Harrison. And with me for this edition, I have Kieran. How are you doing, Kieran?
Hello, I'm doing all right. Thanks. How are you?
Not too bad, sir.
Good.
Busy with launches. This was a rough one. I've been up since like 7 o'clock this morning because of the alpha launch.
Which
wasn't fun.
who in the world gets up at 7 a.m.?
No, it's a terrible thing, clearly. You know, us F1 content creators, we're not used to these early mornings. And with me, who was with me for that launch as well, Hannah Atkinson. Hello, Hannah.
Hello. I did not get up at 7, but I was during that strip. What a great start. I was doing that stream.
It's been such a long day. We can understand why you're both struggling.
Thanks for your sympathy. I really appreciate that.
Yeah.
Up early for the car launch. It was a good one.
I agree. I think it was a pretty good one overall. We'll get into a little bit of that shortly. In this episode of the podcast, we're just going to cover a couple of things. We're going to cover the Williams launch first and foremost, the Alfa Romeo launch, a little bit of news to tackle as well over the next 20, 25 minutes or so. So hopefully you'll enjoy that. But before we get into the show itself, a little bit of general housekeeping. Just in case you didn't know already, head over to shop.wtf1.com for our latest promotion. We got Valentine's Day coming up just around the corner, just about a week away now. And you can get cards, mugs with some very fruity quotes on it, if I do say so myself, including the Gunther Steiner, "You are my dreamboat." And my personal favorite, "I'd let you touch my rear wing."
I came up with that one. That was mine.
It was Kieran's. It was very, very good indeed, if I do say so myself. And yeah, if you want, you can check that out on shop.wtf1.com and you can take 15% off your entire order with the code Valentine15, VALENTINE15. We had the Williams launch. I wanted to talk to Hannah first on this one because Hannah was actually down there at Grove in person. And how was it for you?
Oh, it was such a really nice day. I had never been to the Williams Racing HQ in Grove before, but it's a really, really cool place. I'm interested to know what you guys made of the livery because I really liked it. I like the livery that they had last year and it was, you know, it was similar to that one. I have to say, when I first saw the Duracell battery portion of the livery, I thought it was a joke. Well, no, I knew it wasn't a joke, but I thought, you know, I just thought it was quite funny. And then the more I saw of it, the nicer it got, and the more I was like, oh, that's actually a really cool feature. And they had it in Miami last year, although I did not know that until someone had commented saying, you know, they had it in Miami. So I didn't know that. It was new to me. But I thought it was really, really cool. But just the whole day in general was amazing. It was great to be alongside some other content creators as well, and just doing lots of cool filming and also having a go on The Sims. They have a really cool esports lounge, which was really cool to experience. Every time I've gone on simulators, I've gone away thinking I need a whole room in my house dedicated to a sim room. Like it just has to be. And then I kind of lose that again. And then I go on a sim again. And I thought, this is the best thing ever. So that was really fun. But it was a great day overall. What was it like watching the stream?
Not as fun as that.
Oh.
No, it was after the painstaking Red Bull launch. And I said this a lot during the stream. Just to reiterate, I think credit is due. When credit is due, that's how they say it, isn't it? I think Williams did it perfectly. Show the car very quickly. Your countdowns, including some of your special features, and then genuinely interesting chats. I think Will Buxton did a very good job of that. And just the car itself. Yeah, last year I liked the car. I think there's always going to be a little bit of disappointment when there's not too much change. But equally, when something looks really nice, why change it too much? Now, I do prefer it to last year's, I would say. And yeah, the Duracell airflow it's great. And I've loved on the internet how people have been saying, oh, have you noticed this Duracell airflow? And then all the people commenting is like, how dare you not know they did that last year? How dare you? Being incredibly reasonable, as usual. But yeah, overall, as a launch event, I thought it was very, very strong.
Yeah, I can't disagree with Kieran on that one. I think that it was it was smooth and to the point, and it focused on what I think the people that were going to be tuning in for care about most. They were on screen, They revealed the car in the first 5 minutes, and they got interviews with all of the drivers, including the Academy guys, extended time with Jamie Chadwick. We had Connor Pinto. We had O'Sullivan mentioned. And then, of course, we had a sit down with both Alex Albon and Logan Sargeant. And they got it all out of the way within half an hour. I think it was about 20, 25 minutes for the whole presentation. It was slick. It was well produced. It cut to the chase. It didn't have anybody lose interest. They got the car out of the way early. That's how you do a car launch. Newsflash, gentlemen. Valentine's Day is almost here, and by the grace of Cupid, our friends at Manscaped are coming with the best tools to get your boys downstairs ready for the special occasion. The Platinum Package from Manscaped is the all-encompassing package that every guy needs in their life to make each and every day just a little more special. The headliner in this package is the Lawnmower 4.0. The trimmer's advanced skin-safe technology reduces cuts and nicks on your delicate parts. It even has a 4000K LED spotlight so you can shave anywhere your heart desires. Did I mention it's waterproof too? This package also includes the Weed Whacker nose and ear hair trimmer to whack all of the worst of your weeds. And Manscaped even threw in two free gifts, their shed travel bag and their anti-chafing boxer briefs to keep your boys stored comfortably. No Platinum Package is complete without the Ultimate Hygiene Bundle to get you fresh from head to toe. This bundle includes Manscaped's Premium Body Wash, 2-in-1 Shampoo, Body and Ball Deodorant, and much more. Ready to buy? Get 20% off and free shipping with the code WTF1 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use the code WTF1. Join Cupid and shoot your arrow with Manscaped this Valentine's Day. Next up was Alfa Romeo. We had that this morning, and me and Hannah were live on Twitch for that one. I mean, Hannah, it was startlingly obvious from the time we spent together on Twitch that you are in love with this new Alfa Romeo livery.
I know, seriously, those are my words. I think I'm in love with this car. I don't know what it is about it, but I just love the black and red. I think it looks so good. And I was a fan of the white and red, but I don't know. There's something about it that I love. And I, yeah, like you said, was very obvious about that on stream. but even though it was an early start, seeing that car just brought the enthusiasm out of me, I think. And it was, I actually thought it was a really nice stream.
Oh yeah, you were gushing over that livery, and I had to try and basically talk you down a little bit because you were so excited about it. I can't remember.
Let her be happy, Dre. Why would you talk someone down from that?
No, that's, it just caught me by surprise. That's all, Kieran. You know, what did you think of it first and foremost?
The livery itself, I thought, you know, it's what I hoped for. I'd seen leaked photos of the new team kit, so I kind of expected a black and red to be coming.
Oh, okay.
But then I every other leak I've seen has been wrong so far. So I sort of put it to the back of my mind that's not happening, and then it did happen. And I thought Joe and Valtteri looked bloody handsome in their suits. I thought they were very, very nice. Black suits are great. The car itself, initially, as soon as I saw it, I was like, that's incredible. And then I looked at it a little bit more and I thought, firstly, it's very full. There's a lot of sponsors on it. And then it feels a little bit disjointed. I think I would have preferred more integrated black and red throughout the car rather than a black rear, red front. But having said that, it's still very nice. I'm arguing over a few points between sort of 7 and 9 potentially for me out of 10. So really like the livery. I thought, again, it was very well produced, the whole launch. I do question the audience and the people they had there.
Yeah.
Because from the first moment, like, I think it's because the audience was so clearly in focus.
Mm.
So you can look at every face along three rows and see exactly how everyone is reacting. And they really need to choose people wisely for these things because no one looked like they were having a great deal of fun.
And especially then Andreas, the guy in pink.
Oh, yeah.
The guy in pink. He will become famous and he'll go down in folklore. But I think Andreas Seidel, I didn't even notice he was there at first. I thought he was just one of the fans.
Exactly.
Were they fans? How did they pick these people? Were they competition winners? Do we know?
I don't know.
You so clearly had an answer there, Hannah. That was such a strong
response. I was
going
to say something that I thought I probably shouldn't say, but they seem to be actors to me. Is what where I was going for?
I don't think it was that. I don't think one person just clearly missed the memo more than anything else. And I think the one person was just like, oh, are we meant to clap now? Okay.
Well, no, I think the memo he must have missed was how you behave in a public space.
Exactly. I think
it's much less specific than how to behave at a car launch.
Yeah, I mean, it
was very Jeremy Kyle. It was very Jeremy Kyle-esque.
That was the first thing that leapt into my head. It felt like it was a pilot for every TV talk show you've ever seen in your life. Jeremy Kyle show leaped into my head on that one.
Jerry Springer for our US audience.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Very much, well, early Springer before it went completely crazy. but yes, like every talk show ever, Andreas Seidel, who's now the CEO of the entire team, not even team principal in their new divided up role as Alpha's going down that road with the team structure. Andreas Seidel is there as CEO, and he's just sitting there front row to one side while everybody else is gathered around the table. No chairs, everyone just standing up for a good 45 minutes around the same. I don't envy Tom Clarkson, who was standing there from the very start, just having to, you know, just stand there. Like, his knees must have been killing him by the end.
And that is an interesting thing, the whole lean on the table. Dre, you're a tall guy, I'm sure you can attest to this as well. There is a certain height where leaning on the table is the natural thing to do. But if you're a tall person, it can be slightly unnatural due to how far you have to bend down.
Yes, exactly.
And I think they mastered that. I think they looked very comfortable with a very difficult situation. So hats off to them for that.
I could read the comments already. Oh, my God, they're talking about people standing up funny. What amazing content we've got here. For what it's worth, I thought delivery was really nice. I on stream gave it a good 8.5. I thought it was really solid. I agree with Kieran. I think the integration of the second color was a little clunky with some of the red. I also wonder if this is going to be a bit of a theme so far, because we've seen 3 out of the 4 cars feature a lot of black. And I wonder if that black is more a case of unpainted carbon due to the amount of weight they've got to save on this year's cars. So I think they've brought the minimum weight down by another 3 kilos. So if they could shave off a couple of kilos of paint weight by having more of your car have black as a predominant feature, I fear that's what's happening, because Williams leaned into that. We've seen Alfa lean into that. And I wonder how much of that Haas is going to actually be painted black, or whether it's just, again, unpainted carbon. It's lucky it looks nice in livery reveal and studio form, but I am curious to see if that's going to be more of a trend as we go.
Well, it would be very interesting when we get to AlphaTauri on Saturday. That would be a car where we could potentially see exactly the same thing, and I think that could confirm that theory. If we suddenly see a huge amount of black on the car, then absolutely.
Yeah, my favorite part was when their technical director said, we've not run the car yet, so the reliability is perfect. great line, if I do say so myself. A little bit of news to get through before we get out of here as well. We now have official confirmation now with Red Bull Ford confirmed as their new tie-in with the Red Bull factory team, that we now have our six power unit developers for the next set of regulations in 2026. So those six now are Alpine Racing, Ferrari, Mercedes, Audi, we all know, joining up with Sauber in 2026, Red Bull Ford, and Honda is still here. I had to double-check my notes. Honda is still on the list for 2026, despite the fact, as it stands going into that season, they're not actually supplying anybody, because now we know that Red Bull and AlphaTauri are going to both be supplied by Red Bull Ford in their collaboration that was announced last week. So, Kieran, where do you think we're at on that one? And is anyone going to take Honda on, you wonder?
It's a difficult one. And I'm not going to pretend I have a huge amount of inside knowledge or even extensive opinions around it. But I think it's probably a case of Honda wanting to be in the mix, because, you know, things can change at a moment's notice. And I think something we were sort of discussing earlier in another call was the possibility of Andretti coming in. And now there have been rumors linking them with Alpine for that engine. But, you know, it can kind of see anything happening. And I think that is what it is. I think it's just to cover all bases, to cover all eventualities, Honda want to be involved in that pool. And we'll either see them or we won't. But I don't know much more at the moment, to be honest.
I mean, it's hard because obviously we're speculating for 3 years out, but it's going to be interesting to see how Andretti plays. Obviously, Andretti are now going to officially and formally go down that road of trying to enter on the grid. I'm going to assume for 2026. I know there's a 2025 option, but why would you want to join a year before a major regulation change? So I think 26 makes the most sense. And, well, the conversations as to whether Cadillac's going to just put a badge on somebody else's power unit. In that case, we've seen Honda be prepared to just sell their intellectual property and let somebody else badge it. I wonder if that's going to be the option, especially if Andretti can't get a deal with somebody else. I believe the rule is that whoever's supplying the least customers as a power unit has to supply that 11th team with a power unit, which as it stands, is Honda going into 2026. So that could be a potential home for Honda. Any other possibilities, Hannah, do you reckon?
Well, I mean, Honda still being on that list and in the mix is an indicator that we could see some, you know, new teams joining the sport in 2026 or more teams added to the grid. Would Honda make their own team again? Would they come back? Who, you know, just putting it out there.
That would take a lot of development money, but we've seen stranger things happen.
It didn't end too well last time, did it? It did. They just couldn't take any of the credit for it.
Again, yeah. just like last year.
Well, yeah, very true. Very true. They always seem to miss out on the golden period.
It's like Honda took their names off the engine cover right as Red Bull would go on to win both championships. I think the person at Honda that made that decision got fired for it. So it wouldn't surprise me at all if that ends up being the way it goes. But again, we'll know a little bit more down the road regarding the state of the powertrains and the state of how these 2026 regulations will come together. Next up on our launch calendar will be AlphaTauri this upcoming Saturday. I believe it's going to be down the Brooklyn Bridge on Saturday night. So that could be interesting. Maybe some fashion involved, probably maybe a little bit more pomp and circumstance as a result. But we'll see how that goes before we get into the really intense set of car launches next week, because we've got five next week. Aston Martin, McLaren the same day. We've got Ferrari, Mercs, and Alpine all still to come. So looking forward to seeing how they all play out. But that'll do it.
Hannah's sort of acting as our roving reporter going to all of these things, isn't she?
I'm not.
Could you please keep a track of the level of hospitality and treatment you get at each one, and we'll rate them when you're back?
Yeah,
sure. Sounds like a great stream idea.
Absolutely. Oh, no, maybe a TikTok.
Okay, fine. I'll settle.
We'll rate the liveries and the canapes next time we're all together on the WTF1 podcast. But until then, I've been Dre Harrison. They've been Kieran and Hannah. Until next time, sayonara.
Bye.
Goodbye.